Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, and my dad, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson here with our co-host, Lou Ann Crane, today with a classic broadcast from my dad offering some timeless parenting advice.
Well, Ryan, not too long ago, we sat down and had a fascinating conversation with your dad about girls and puberty with some content straight from his best-selling book, Bringing Up Girls. Mm-hmm. We heard the first part of what transpired there yesterday and are coming back to it today, actually to give your dad a little bit of a rest, as if some haven't heard, he's still recovering from a fall he took.
That's right, Lou Ann. For those who haven't heard, we were horseback riding a couple of weekends ago, and he took a tumble off the horse, breaking 9 bones, 7 ribs, his collarbone and shoulder, and we just need to give him the time he needs to rest and recover, and that's why we're revisiting some of the most popular programs we've recorded here this week.
And we're pleased to announce he's doing very well. His spirits are great. But again, we want to give him a little extra time to recuperate. Thank you to so many of you who have written, expressing your prayers, your love, your words of encouragement for the Dobsons. We are so grateful for that. And we ask you to continue posting your comments on Facebook. We love to read those. And we're sharing those with Dr. Dobson. Of course, all of us, Ryan, are very anxious to see him up and running. We really miss him when he's out of the office here.
Oh, we certainly do, Lou Ann. Mm-hmm. And for people who want updates, they can come to our website, which is familytalk.org, or go to our Facebook page. But in the meantime, let's continue this conversation about girls and puberty here on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. You know, Dad, we planned to deal with puberty and adolescence on just one broadcast, which was yesterday. But really, you can't do that. There's just too much good content left on the table. And it's not fair to parents or people that are going through that just to stop with one day. Why don't you talk about, for those that didn't hear yesterday or need a refresher, summarize yesterday's broadcast, and then we can get into today's.
I'll do that, Ryan. We were discussing the neurological and hormonal changes in girls that accompany the onset of puberty, which have a profound impact on behavior and on the self-concept. And this is what we talked about last time. It all begins with a small gland called the hypothalamus, which sits in the midbrain area. And when the time is right, according to genetics, two hormones are released, which stimulate another small gland, the pituitary, which in turn tells the ovaries to start producing massive amounts of the hormone estrogen. Estrogen then floods the body and especially the female brain, and sexual maturation is thrown into high gear. Now, I hope that real quick explanation of something that's really pretty complex didn't lose everyone. But the essence of it is that almost every aspect of the body is affected by the changes that occur in response to these powerful hormones. And the onset of those biochemical changes is called puberty.
Well, and doctor, so that's kind of, as you said, the biological, the medical aspect to it. But as we saw last time, there's also an emotional aspect, which is highly volatile for several years. Speaking as the female at this table, I speak from personal experience. Those emotions can go up and down. I don't want to hear from my mom and dad right now.
I will.
You read a paragraph from Bringing Up Girls yesterday that really does explain this very well, why these youngsters around the 12 to 15 year age can be highly unstable emotionally. Can you just share that with us? That'd be a good place to start.
That paragraph is on page 201 of my book, and this is what I wrote. Moms and dads should understand that the hormonal barrage that initiates puberty is highly traumatic, some might even say toxic, to the female brain, and it can throw a girl into complete disequilibrium until she begins to adjust to it. This is why parents must take the time to understand what she's going through, and it's why we were talking about that yesterday and again today. From pubescence through adolescence, there will be recurring times of moodiness, anxiety, anger, self-pity, and depression. There will also be periods of giddiness, glee, elation, sorrow, joy, aggression, and happiness. Emotions are on a roller coaster from the peak to the valley, from one day or one hour to the next. The entire family sometimes hangs on for dear life until things start to settle down. For some girls, the return to equilibrium can take 5 years or longer. In the meantime, surging levels of estrogen and progesterone affect behavior and personality dramatically. They have the female brain and parents rocking and reeling. Now, this is what makes puberty so challenging and exciting to both generations, and it sure helps if you understand what's happening. Your precious daughter, Mom and Dad, is growing up, and that's a good thing. Without it, she would continue to be a little girl for the rest of her life.
Well, Doctor, you described it very well as that roller coaster, and I've got to tell you, as a mom or a dad, it's very easy to just want to disengage during this whole transformation. Just back off and wait until this is all blown over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and many parents do that, and they think that's what their son or daughter wants them to mm-hmm. do because there's so much anger between them. But that's not the best approach. In an earlier chapter of Bringing Up Girls, I talked about something that's extremely important. It's called attachment theory. It is thought to explain more about child development than any other understanding. Mm-hmm. Attachment theory. I hope our parents out there will take the time to read about that. The essence of it is that during the first 3 years of life, it is critical that babies and toddlers quickly bond with their mothers first mm-hmm. and then a little later on with their fathers. And this connection forged between them is highly relevant to everything that comes after, even one's health at 40 years of age or older is linked to the presence or absence of a successful attachment during the preschool years. And I don't have time to describe this in detail, but it relates to what we're talking about today. But it also explains why the last word uttered by a dying soldier on a battlefield is often mother. Mm-hmm. There's emotion yes. attached to that statement. Now, let me return to your question because I really haven't answered it yet about the role that parents should play when puberty is in high gear. What is expected of them? What would be best for the child? I answered that question in my book on page 202, and let me read it. What does a girl need from her parents when everything has gone topsy-turvy? The answer, in a word, is more attachment, not less. We just said that some parents tend to pull back, but actually your preteen or your early teen needs more connection with the parents. Even when she is most unlovable, she needs love and connectedness from her mother, but also from her father. She needs them to be as calm, mature, and parental as possible. There's no room in the relationship for an out-of-control, screaming, confused, and scared adolescent. A voice of reason is desperately needed, even with a child who has become entirely unreasonable. I know this is difficult advice to receive or to implement because a pubescent girl can be absolutely maddening, but she typically has little self-control and certainly doesn't need a mom with the same problem. We mentioned last time that approximately 10 to 20% of adolescent girls are in a long-term crisis mode because of the biochemical changes that are occurring, and they need all the stability they can get from their families. Strange impulses are urging them to do things that make no sense to a rational mind, and many of them can't help responding the way they do.
You know, Dad, you talk about how teens seem to be pushing parents away, and yet this is the time where parents need to engage. They really need to be in there and pouring themselves into their lives. How do you reconcile or even work in the atmosphere where it's just you're getting rebuffed over and over and over while in your head you still know they desperately need your involvement. Hmm.
That's the trick. That's the challenge of parenting, because it is a contradiction, as I said. At the same time that puberty and all those biochemical changes are causing girls to pull away from the people they love, especially those at home, other forces inside them are creating an inexplicable longing for connectedness. Just as estrogen drives the need for intimacy in infancy, it has the same effect in puberty and adolescence, only this time it's more intense. The desire for social bonding, especially with peers, but also with parents, creates great vulnerability. This is why adolescents travel in packs. It's to protect yeah. themselves. And the most paralyzing fear for a girl in those years is the prospect of being left out and rejected and criticized or humiliated. I mean, that's a fate worse than death. Even the most minor criticism from parents can produce a tsunami of tears and retribution and slam doors. Overreaction becomes an everyday event. Heaven help the mom or dad who tries to convince a sobbing girl that it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. They're wrong. Everything is a big deal.
It really is. We asked parents on our Family Talk Facebook page to tell us what their greatest concern for their kids were, and we got an overwhelming response. And really, most of them is about peers. It's my six-year-old already shows signs of needing approval from her peers. My 10-year-old looks to her friends and celebrities to base her life on. What can we do about that? Because they're looking at kids who are in the exact same boat. They're all trying to get the approval of their peers, and they go crazy doing it.
Now, and the hearts of parents are broken when they see their youngsters suffering and hurting mm-hmm. over rejection and so on. To be wounded by a boy can be a fate worse than death mm-hmm. to a vulnerable girl. And that's because during puberty and adolescence, the most urgent biological impulse track this, parents. Write this down. Make a mental note of it. The most urgent biological impulse is to be perceived as sexually desirable. And there's a hormonal base for that. But that's what a girl wants more than anything else. You want her to think about their grades in school or mm-hmm. the test that's coming up or keeping her room clean. She has another preoccupation.
Dad, is that why the dad relationship at this time is so important? It sets the example and the bar for other boys. If he is saying, you're beautiful, you are special, you have value, going on daddy-daughter dates, isn't that curbing the desire, the need from boys her own age?
It is, in fact, meeting some of that need. I've said several times on the broadcast here in recent days that the father is the first man in a little girl's life. Mm-hmm. He's the first one who can come in and affirm her from a masculine point of view, to tell her she's pretty, to tell her he loves her, and to elevate her in her own eyes. Mm-hmm. That is extremely important. Because to some degree, she is meeting that ache inside that if he doesn't do it, then she's going to go find an answer to it elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And that can leave her in a very vulnerable spot with boys. But this explains why girls spend hours in front of mirrors examining and fretting and preening and rearranging and enhancing and wishing and caking on makeup. Most don't like what they see. Mm-hmm. It's sad, mm-hmm. but most don't in this culture.
You know, and it is cultural. I was just in Orange County, California, and there are billboards all over the place for plastic surgery in women. And you've got an underweight, surgically, they say enhanced, but it's really not. It's a skewed, warped mm-hmm. view of a female. And it says, women, you should be dissatisfied with how you look. You should be unhappy with how you were born and your natural body. And it tells men that you ought to be expecting something different. And it warps that relationship. It'd be so tough to be a female in Southern California right now.
And other places around the country. In fact, that because of the internet and television and movies and everything else, that's taking hold everywhere to some degree. And believe me, very young girls in second, third, fourth, fifth grades hear those voices.
Yeah.
They know all it takes is one boy who's important to them to make a joke out of some aspect of their physical body. And, I mean, it burns through to the soul.
I just saw a study that says if you ask boys what one of their best attributes is, it will be an ability they possess, something they can do. If you ask girls that, they'll tell you about a body part.
Mm. You realize how demoralizing that is to a child. And then when you are 13 and these hormones are impinging on the brain and the body and you're not invited to the party in the sixth grade that everybody else is invited to, I mean to tell you that you develop scars that will follow you into the adult life. Now, there's no easy answer to this because we live in a culture that is distorted. It is warped. Mm-hmm. It evaluates human worth on the basis of things that the individual had nothing to do with it. It just happens to be. And when you see your youngster just suffering because of some deformity, perhaps a wandering eye or certainly straightening teeth and things of that nature, I think as a parent, you ought to step in and help and to not acknowledge it and listen when the girl or the boy are crying and not show that you care is a big mistake.
Sure.
But you can also go too far in that direction where plastic surgeons get an opportunity to rebuild a face just because somebody is not yet developed and so on. As I just said, it's not an easy thing to deal with, but it's something that parents need to be aware of and help where help is needed.
Well, and especially when so many parents are going the other direction. They're allowing too much plastic surgery and things to an underdeveloped or not fully developed teen. And you've got your daughter or son saying, but so-and-so is getting this and I don't like this. And you've got to be that strong foundation for them saying you are perfect the way you were created.
Yeah, some parents give breast augmentation on the 16th birthday, for example, which is absolutely crazy.
For your kid and every kid they come into contact with.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just your child that's being affected, but it's everyone they're around.
You know, Lou Ann and Ryan, there's so many subjects here that we could spend an entire broadcast or two or three talking about. If we're going to cover some of the more important things, we better keep moving.
Well, let's do. And like we said, so much of this is complicated by all of these hormones that are surging, as you've described. One of those hormones is oxytocin, which is just fascinating to me. Describe how that works.
Well, we have to talk about oxytocin because it plays such a role during the adolescent years and beyond because it's almost mischievous in its influence. And it's stimulated by estrogen, but it has a nickname. It's called the cuddle hormone. And you can figure out where that leads. When a girl gets to know a guy and feels safe with him, her oxytocin levels rise and it gives her a rush of hope and trust and optimism and confidence and a feeling that all her needs are going to be met. And she may start to fall in love with him or something that feels like love for a while, but not because he's the perfect human being as she thinks he is. He's perceived as the perfect human being because she starts to feel like it. It's the other way around. And hugging and snuggling cause oxytocin levels to surge, which leads to more hugging and snuggling. You know, you talk about a tender trap.
Well, it's a bonding mechanism, isn't it?
It is. Our biochemistry is designed designed to guarantee the continuation of the human race. Now, another aspect of oxytocin, which is fascinating to me, is that new mothers are flooded with the stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's why a mother who does not even know this squiggly little baby that's put in her arms falls madly in love with him, sometimes in a matter of an hour or two. I mentioned last time a book called The Female Brain by Dr. Lou Ann Brizendine, and she says, and I quote, "From an experiment on hugging, we know that oxytocin is naturally released in the brain after, get this now, after a 20-second hug from a partner, sealing the bond between huggers and triggering the brain's trust circuits. So don't let a guy hug you unless you plan to trust him." That's what it comes down to. And I wrote in my book, "Do you think you can help your daughter understand this hormone?" I said, "No chance. You only have to hope her boyfriend doesn't know how it works either, because a 20-second hug gives a girl a sense of trust. That's not what you want her to have when she's just getting acquainted with somebody."
And that's why dad-appropriate touch is so important at this age, because she's trusting him more and she's bonding with him more and allowing him to influence her life in a positive direction.
And now with that information, Ryan, we have to go back to something that I said, I believe, when our daughter Danae was here and we were talking about the relationship between girls and their fathers and how there is a tendency in early adolescence for dads to pull back physically from their daughters who are starting to round out, starting to become more of a woman, and it makes him uncomfortable. And so instead of hugging her as he's done when she was younger, he is now leaning away, and we call it the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You know, she is aware that he is not as physical with her as he was earlier, and she misses it. And furthermore, she watches her father with younger daughters in the family, and that has not changed for them. They're still climbing in his lap and all over his shoulders and everything. But for a pubescent girl, that's missing, and she needs that chemical response to him.
And it's precisely when boys her age are paying more attention to her.
Yeah, that's half true. For some girls, the boys are not paying attention to them, and therefore they need their dad's affirmation and love even more. You know, I talked in the previous program about the ache, the longing that a girl feels for that connectedness with her dad. And I'm telling you, if it's not there, she's a sitting duck for some guy whose motives may not be honorable to come in and meet that need. And that happens millions of times a year.
Well, that is quite true. So important for fathers of daughters to understand. You've been listening to Dr. James Dobson share classic parenting advice on this Family Talk broadcast, straight from his best-selling book, Bringing Up Girls, which we have available here at familytalk.org.
Luann, it is such good stuff. And you also heard my dad reference some programs he recorded with my sister Danae on the topic of dads and daughters. That conversation and others are included on the Raising Girls broadcast collection. Listeners can also find that at familytalk.org, or if they'd like to call us, they can. Our phone number is 877-732-6825.
Ryan, we've revisited this particular program today in order to give your dad a little more opportunity to recover from the broken bones he suffered after that fall off a horse about a week and a half ago. Again, listeners should know that he is doing great, but he's just resting up, and we want to give him that time so that hopefully he will be back here in the office soon.
In the meantime, please continue to be in prayer for him.
Yes.
He is broken 9 bones altogether, and that is going to require quite the recovery period. But he is in good spirits, and we are anxious to see him up and around the Family Talk offices soon.
Many of you have already done so, but if you would still like to share your prayers and well wishes for Dr. Dobson, I invite you to do so at our Facebook page, which you can access from familytalk.org.
Or if you'd prefer to call us and leave those thoughts or to request a copy of Bringing Up Girls over the phone, again, you can reach us at 877-732-6825.
Thanks for choosing to spend a part of your day with us, and make plans to be with us tomorrow as we address a very important topic for all parents, and that's the whole issue of bullying. Here we are at the beginning of a school year. A lot of us may be dealing with this in the coming weeks. So don't miss that next time on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.
Hello, everyone. This is John Gibson, a board member for this ministry, Family Talk. Our objectives here are to share Christ to hurting families across America. And to do that, we need your help. First, so many people don't know that James Dobson is back on the air. Would you tell your friends where they can listen to him? Secondly, would you consider becoming a financial partner? We need people who can answer the phone compassionately and pray, and we need resources to give to people who are hurting in this culture that is so antagonistic to families. You can donate online at myfamilytalk.com and click the Donate tab, or call us at 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. Thank you, and God bless you.